Lucky you, you just heard Paul's sermon, and now you get to hear mine. Two in one day. Two baptisms, two sermons. It's just a double day today. Think about it. Where would Paul go today? You know, he went to Greece, to the Areopagus there, to the great marketplace of ideas. Where would he go today? Come on, you know where. He'd go to Oprah. Of course, he would go to Oprah. Oprah is the spiritual marketplace today. She brings people in from all different corners, all different approaches, all different ideas. A lot of them work really well together. Some of them may not, but she has definitely in her own soul that seeking, that wanting to find something, and she's bringing that to us, bringing her searching and her seeking and her findings, and she does that. She does that all the time, and she's doing that in a more intentional way now. She's got Eckhart Tolle, you know, he's her speaker of the moment. He wrote a book, A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose, and you can watch it on TV. You can take a course on Monday nights. Some of us, I know a few of us are taking the class and reading the book, and it's a spiritual seeking. It's looking for, you know, a better life, awakening to your life's purpose. That's what Oprah's about. So I think Paul would go to Oprah. And if Paul sat down with Oprah and with Eckhart Tolle, I think they would discuss, as from the bits and pieces I've read of what's going on there, that you know a lot of the ideas, a lot of the thoughts, a lot of the principles of awakening to your life's purpose are consistent with, if not derived from, the great religious traditions of the world. Eckhart Tolle, in his book, he talks about the wisdom. He asks the question, he says, the question is not, what do I want out of life? Which is an easy question to ask. What do I want out of life? Can become a self-serving question if you're not careful. He says the real question, though, is, as he put it, what does consciousness ask of me? Or what does life ask of me? Or, as Oprah herself put it, what does God ask from me? That's one of the great religious questions of all time, certainly in the Christian tradition too. What is God calling me to do? What is God calling us to do? They're talking about stillness. Tolle says, let the stillness speak to you. You don't have to read very far in the Bible to read in the Psalms, you know, be still and know that I am the Lord. He talks about the power of now, of living in the moment, you know, of really being present. And of course, that's one of the great spiritual traditions in the Christian faith too, is, you know, the secret of the spiritual life is to pay attention, you know. Actually, you can find that in Dick, Jane, and Sally. You know, I think it was Robert Fulghum in Everything I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. He's the one that pointed out that the most important word of all is look. Look. Pay attention. Live in the moment. Pay attention to what's going around you, because God is at work there, and if you're paying attention, you just might see that. I was reading an interview, an online interview with Kenneth Woodward, who was the Newsweek religion reporter for 30-some years, and he was looking back on his experience, and he said there were two remarkable people that stood out the most in his 30 years, and one of them was a rabbi, Abraham Heschel, who wrote in the 50s and 60s, and was a very a powerful person. And one of the things he learned, the Newsweek editor learned from him, was this. He said, those who are deeply immersed in one tradition, Heschel said, one religious tradition, can pass over to other traditions and see them from the inside with a genuine understanding. Notice he didn't say all religions are the same. If you study world religions, there are commonalities, there are points of connection, there are places to talk and to work together, but they're not the same. The ethical teachings often are similar, if not consistent, which is a source of great hope, because maybe the religious traditions of the world can work together and make this world a better place, and people are working on that. But he's saying, if you go deep enough into your own tradition, if you really get particular about your own faith tradition, whether it's Judaism as it was for Heschel, whether it's Christianity or any other, then you really can't understand the deep experiences of other faiths. You can understand what they're talking about too. You can understand what they experience, what they're connecting with as well. I wonder what the Athenians meant when they said, to an unknown God. You know, they sort of put that out there as though they were covering their bases. I wonder if they were doing just that. Or if they were sort of waiting for something that would really impress them, that would really catch their attention, that would really strike them as, okay, this is the universal faith. This is the truth. This is how it ought to be. And I wonder if some of us do that sometimes too. Some of us sit on the fence with our faith. You know, you can look at Christianity and you can see things that don't quite add up, Bible passages that may not make any sense at all. You can look at some of the history of how Christians have treated each other. Now, history, you don't have to go back all that far. You can say, well, if that's what Christians do, then I don't want a part of that. You can look at it and you can really question, and you can say, even, how can that be true? It's such a particular faith. It's about a rabbi who lived in Palestine in this little forgotten corner of the earth. How could that in any way be something universal? How could the truth, the words that come from that carpenter from Nazareth have anything to say to everyone? So maybe it's safer just to say, to an unknown God. And just wait, and hopefully there will be some other tradition, some other faith that won't have some of those particularities, some of those things that make Christian faith a little messy, a little uneven. Well, you can adopt that philosophy, but the problem with that is, you know, sometimes when you're waiting for the perfect to come along, you never find it. A lot of us have had the experience, you know, of looking for something and you're waiting for just the right thing, and you wait too long and you miss it, whether it's that apartment or that house that really would have been perfect, but you were holding out for something a little better and you missed it. Well, Paul is preaching for commitment in the Areopagus. He's saying, okay, you have this unknown God. Let me tell you who that is. Let me say more about that. You have this spiritual longing, you people of Athens. You have this desire for something more in your life. You sense it, and God put that there, he says. God put it there, that desire for something more, for something that will last, for something that tells us life really is worth living, for something that calls forth from us a purpose. And here it is, Paul says. And it's found in a most unlikely place, in a most unlikely life. But Paul says, and I say also, if you follow Jesus of Nazareth, that particular life, if you try to include the outcast as he did and welcome the children as he did and forgive wrongs as he did, fight injustice as he did, if you see the way he died, reaching out in a physical way, but in a profoundly spiritual way, to pull the whole world in with love. And if you just hear the story that maybe death could not hold him, that maybe, just maybe, God really did raise him from the dead as a sign that there is more, that there is something worth living for, something worth giving our lives to. If you do that, if you're brave enough to follow that very particular path, that very particular person that seems so limiting because it's so focused and so narrow, if you really stay with it, you will come to a place where what is particular and singular is suddenly all-encompassing and universal. Paul was preaching for commitment, hoping that people wouldn't just sit back and leave it at an unknown God. to play it safe and not really put yourself on the line. Instead of that, Paul said, dare to dive in, to make a very particular commitment, and to know that in the end that will bring you to a place where just like God's love on the cross that embraced the whole world with love. Pray with me. Gracious God, our hearts are indeed restless until they find their rest in you. Lord, if we don't see our own restlessness, give us the courage to see it. And if we do see it, Lord, give us the courage to act on it in commitment so that we can live the only kind of a life that really matters. We pray in Christ's name, for Christ's sake, in the world's sake, and for our own sakes. Amen.